Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zichus Ksubas Daf Memches, the fourth parak, Nar Shini Spasasa. The Zichu Mesechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hakazachas Torah. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. The Mishnah Daf Memvav Amabei stated, the Tanakhama says a husband is chayv to provide for his wife's burial, and Yehuda says, Afil Anishbi Yisrael lo yipchos mishnei chalilim umekonenes. Even the poorest Jewish man may not hire less than two flutes and a lamenting woman to lead the mourning at his wife's burial. The Gemara says that this implies that the Tanakhama holds that a husband does not have to provide these and asks, what is the Mishnah's case? If the custom in her family is to have the flutes and the lamenting woman at a woman's funeral, why does the Tanakhama say that he does not need to provide them? And if it's not her family's custom, what is Rabbi Yehuda's reason for requiring the husband to provide them? The Gemara answers that the Machlokas is in a case where it is the husband's custom to have the flute and lament her at a woman's funeral, but it's not her family's custom. The Tanakhama holds, ki amrin ole imo ve'enu yoredes imo hani mili mechayim. When we say that a woman rises to her husband's status, but does not descend to it, this applies in her life, but not after her death. Rabbi Yehuda holds this principle applies even after her death. Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, the halach is like Rav Yehuda. Point number two, Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, Mishnin shtata based in Yordan l'nechosav, v'zanim v'farnitzin es ishto uvanu v'venosav v'davar acher. One who went insane, based and goes down to his property and supports and maintains his wife and sons and his daughters and also provides something else. Ravina asked Ravashi why this is different from a brisa which taught. One who goes overseas and his wife goes to Basin and claims support, Basin goes down to his property to support and maintain it, but not his sons or his daughters nor something else. Ravashi responded, do you not distinguish between someone who leaves intentionally and one who leaves without das? Rashi explains that the father who traveled overseas could have arranged support for his children before departing, so this indicates that he does not want to support them in his absence. Nonetheless, he must support his wife because that is one of the Tanai Ksuba, the conditions of the Ksuba. But we may assume that the father who went crazy would have wanted to support his children. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Masar Abu Shulchi Abal, Arhi Bereshus Abal. Once the father has handed his daughter over to the husband's agents, she is in her husband's Reshus. Rav said this means Mesirasol Kol Chutz Metruma. The delivery is effective in all respects except for permitting her to eat Truma if her husband is a Kohen. Rashi explains that if the husband finds a Muma, physical defect after Chuppah, the marriage could be retroactively revoked and she will have unlawfully eaten Truma. But Ravasi said she may eat Truma. Rashi explains he holds that the concern is that she will accidentally feed Truma to her siblings while in her house. Once she leaves her father's house, there's no more concern. Shmuel said to Yerushasa that the delivery is only effective for her inheritance. If she dies on the way, her husband retains the dowry. Reish Lakish said for her ksuba, which Ravina explains means that if her chassan dies, then her ksuba from a second husband will only be 100 zuz. The Gemara brings a brice that refutes all of the opinions except for Shmuel's. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah Daf Memvav Amud Bey stated, the Tanakham says a husband is chayv to provide for his wife's burial. And Yehuda says, Afil Anishbi Yisrael lo yipchos mishnei chalilim umakananis. Even the poorest Jewish man may not hire less than two flutes and a lamenting woman to lead the mourning at his wife's burial. The Gemara says that this implies that the Tanakhama holds that a husband does not have to provide these and asks, what is the Mishnah's case? If the custom in her family is to have the flutes and the lamenting woman at a woman's funeral, why does the Tanakhama say that he does not need to provide them? And if it's not her family's custom, what is Rabbi Yehuda's reason for requiring the husband to provide them? The Gemara answers that the Machlokas is in a case where it is the husband's custom to have the flute and lament her at a woman's funeral, but it's not her family's custom. The Tanakhama holds, ki amrin ole imo ve'enu yoredes imo hani mili mechayim. When we say that a woman rises to her husband's status, but does not descend to it, this applies in her life, but not after her death. Yehuda holds this principle applies even after her death. Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, the halach is like Rav Yehuda. Point number two, Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, Mishnin shtata based in Yordan l'nechosav, v'zanim v'farnitzin es ishto uvanu v'venosav v'davar acher. One who went insane, based and goes down to his property and supports and maintains his wife and sons and his daughters and also provides something else. Ravina asked Ravashi why this is different from a brisa which taught. One who goes overseas and his wife goes to Basin and claims support, Basin goes down to his property to support and maintain it, but not his sons or his daughters nor something else. Ravashi responded, do you not distinguish between someone who leaves intentionally and one who leaves without das? Rashi explains that the father who traveled overseas could have arranged support for his children before departing, so this indicates that he does not want to support them in his absence. Nonetheless, he must support his wife because that is one of the Tanai Ksuba, the conditions of the Ksuba. But we may assume that the father who went crazy would have wanted to support his children. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Masa Abu Shulchi Abal, Arhi Bereshus Abal. Once the father has handed his daughter over to the husband's agents, she is in her husband's Reshus. Rav said this means Mesirasal Kol Chutz Metruma. The delivery is effective in all respects except for permitting her to eat Truma if her husband is a Kohen. Rashi explains that if the husband finds a Mum, a physical defect after Chuppah, the marriage could be retroactively revoked and she will have unlawfully eaten Truma. But Ravasi said she may eat Truma. Rashi explains he holds that the concern is that she will accidentally feed Truma to her siblings while in her house. Once she leaves her father's house, there's no more concern. Shmuel said to Yerushasa that the delivery is only effective for her inheritance. If she dies on the way, her husband retains the dowry. Reish Lakish said for her ksuba, which Ravina explains means that if her chassan dies, then her ksuba from a second husband will only be 100 zuz. The Gemara brings a brice that refutes all of the opinions except for Shmuel's. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Mem Ches, and our standard simmon relates to moach, brain, and we use brainiacs. Brainiacs are highly intelligent, brainy people. So here goes. The brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. And her sister died from shock right after she had been handed over to the husband's shluchim, enabling her husband to retain her dowry. Once again, it's slow motion. The brainiacs, brainiacs, that must be one daf mem ches. The brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible. Which reminds us, we have Malchukas if a husband is required to provide flutes and a lamenter at his wife's burial. The Gemara says that the Malchukas is in a case where it's the husband's custom to have the flute and a lamenter at a woman's funeral, but it's not her family's custom. The Tanakhama holds, when we say that a woman rises to her husband's status but does not descend to it, this applies in her life, but not after her death. Rav Yudah holds this principle applies even after her death. So, the brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. Which reminds me, Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, one who went insane, Beis Din goes down to his property and supports and maintains his wife and his sons and daughters, because we assume the father who went crazy would have wanted to support his children. This is different than a father who travels overseas. Since he could have arranged support for his children before departing, but did not, it indicates that he does not want to support them in his absence. Nonetheless, he must support his wife, because that's one of the Tanai Ksuba. So the brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. And her sister died from shock right after she had been handed over to the husband's shluchim, enabling her husband to retain her dowry. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Masa Abu Shulchi Abal Hari Bereshus Abal. Once the father has handed his daughter over to the husband's agents, she is in her husband's reshus. There's a machlokes regarding what it means that she's in his reshus, and the Brice refutes every opinion except for Shmuel's, who says it's regarding her Yerusha, that the delivery is only effective for her inheritance. If she dies on the way, her husband retains the dowry. So once again, the brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. And her sister died from shock right after she had been handed over to her husband's shluchim, enabling her husband to retain her dowry. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf mem dalad. So the simmer daf mem dalad is mud. So here goes. The two stars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud. Mud? That must be more daf mem dalad. The two stars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, which reminds of Rav Nachman said, Shnei stars hu yotzim bezer chazeh bitul shenias rishon. Two stars are for one field, and one is dated after the other. The second star nullifies the first. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the first star is batel, and Rafam said that we say the recipient admitted to him that the first star was invalid. And Rashi explains that by acknowledging the need for a second star, the recipient is admitting the first star was fraudulent. Rav Acha said that we say the recipient graciously waived the lien that is inherent in the first deed. If the land is seized, he's limited to collecting from lands sold after the date of the second star. The Gemara brings three nafkaminas between the two reasons, the disqualification of the witnesses, the repayment of fruits eaten, and payment of the property tax. So the two stars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, were discovered by Anahamarasa, who was not conceived in Kedusha, but her birth was in Kedusha, which reminds us that we learned that Anahamarasa, if her conception was not in Kedusha, meaning that it was before her mother converted, but her birth was in Kedusha, meaning after her mother converted, Harzo was Skila. She's Chayv Skila, but she's not subject to stoning by the entrance of her father's house, since her father isn't Jewish, nor is she entitled to the 100 sela fine if her husband is found to be lying about her. The Gemara learns that the superfluous word umesa, and she shall die, is coming to include one who's not conceived in Kedusha, but was born in Kedusha for Skila. And when the Gemara asks why this does not teach us that if her husband is found guilty of trying to defame her, he should be lashed and have to pay the fine, it answers umesa, and she shall die. Lamisa nisrabsa v'lovo kanas. She was included for the death penalty, but not for the fine. So the two shtaros for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, were discovered by Anahamarasa, who was not conceived in Kedusha, but her birth was in Kedusha, when she noticed a young orphan girl sitting in the mud and crying because the one who defamed her didn't have to pay the kanas. Which reminds us, we have machlokes whether a motzi shemra al yasoma is pater, whether one who defames an orphan girl is pater from paying the fine. Daf mem hei, so the simmer daf mem hei is monopoly. So here goes. The three naras playing execution monopoly. Monopoly? That must be more in daf mem hei. The three naras playing execution monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck, which reminds us, Shiloh taught a brisa that taught shosh midos benara. There are three types of execution with regard to a nar who committed adultery as an arusa, dependent on when the witnesses came to testify against her and how old she was at the time of the conviction. So the three naras playing execution monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck were joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagaris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that in the case of Anahamarasa, who was a Nara when she sinned, but a Bagaris when she was judged, she gets skila because her adulterous actions caused her punishment, and when she committed adultery, she was a Nara. Whereas in the case of the defamer, Akimus Vasav Garmulo, the curving of his lips, referring to his defamation, caused him to be chayav of punishment, and at the time he spoke, she was already a Bagaris. Therefore, he cannot be given the punishment for one who defames a Nara. So the three Naras playing execution monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck were joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagaris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, and who had just come from a town with a majority of idolaters where stoning was done at the entrance. A basin. Which reminds us, if it was taught in a brisa, Anahamarasa that commits adultery, we stone her at the entrance of her father's house. If her father has no house, we stone her at the entrance of the city's gate where she committed the adultery, and in a city with a majority of idolaters, we stone her at the entrance. A basin. Daf mem vav. So the simmer daf mem vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The Rachel going around town on a cow. Cow? That must be on daf mem vav. Moo. The Rachel going around town on a cow telling people that Pony was warned not to commit Motzi Shemra, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Hazar la Motzi Shemra Monalan, from where do we derive the source for the warning of a defamer? Belazar says it's from the Pasuk Oseilech Rachel, you shall not go out as a gossip monger. And Rabbi Nassan says it's from the Pasuk Vinishmartim, called Davara, beware of any evil Davar, referring to a word. The Gemara explains why each one did not hold of the other one's source. So, the Rachel going around town on a cow telling people that Pony was warned not to commit Motzi Shemra, lost control and charged to a spread out clean new sheet that the girl's father was holding, which reminds us, the Gemara Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis brought a machlokas whether the defamer must have had relations with her in order to be punished with Malkus and the fine. The Chachamim hold that he's punished whether he had relations or not, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds he's only punished if he had relations with her. The Gemara asks how the Chachamim will hold that he does not have had to have relations with her, understand various psukim. When it asks how they understand the pasuk Parshua Simla, and they spread out the sheet, it answers Rabbi Avoh said, Parshuma Shasamla. They clarify the accusation that he placed on her, as it was taught in a brisa that witnesses come from both sides, Uborin Esedavar Kisimul Chadasha, and they clarify the matter like a new sheet. So the Rachel going around town on a cow, telling people that Pony was warned not to commit Motzi Shemra, lost control and charged through a spread out clean new sheet that the girl's father was holding, which he had bought with the Kesef Kedushin he received. Which reminds the next Mishnah opens the Av Zakai Bebito BeKedushah BeKesef, a father Zoche in his daughter's Kedushin to receive the money. The Gemara asks for the source for this, and after rejecting several answers, returns to its original source from the parsha of a Jewish shivcha who becomes a Nara, where the pasuk states, "V'yatza chinam ein kasef," she shall leave free of charge without payment. From the superfluous phrase Without payment, it can be inferred, in kesev adon zeh, v'yesh kesev adon acher. There's no payment made to this master, meaning no money is needed to purchase the girl from his rishus, but there is payment made to a different master upon leaving his rishus. And who is this? Her father. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The corn maze property the daughter inherited, that her father had no rights to, was acquired by her chasim with their parents Ksus and Kelim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison, after getting lost in the maze, just as the Rav was preparing the ksuba and was writing the words Shera Ksusa Va'onasa. Once again, it's a motion. The corn maze property maze, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Zayin. The corn maze property the daughter inherited, that her father had no rights to, which reminds us, we have a machlokas if a father can consume the produce from his daughter's properties. So, the corn maze property the daughter inherited, that her father had no rights to, was acquired by her chasim with her parents Ksus and Kelim, when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison, when she got lost in the maze, which reminds us, we have machlokas whether a chasim has the rights to parents Ksus and Kelim if the kala dies before Nisuin, and the Gemara compares this machlokas to the machlokas whether a kala gets the Tosefes Ksuba when the chasim dies after Erison. So the corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chasim with her parents Ksus and Kelim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison when she got lost in the maze, just as the Rav was preparing the Ksuba and was writing the words Shera Ksusa Va'onasa, which reminds us we have different opinions regarding the meaning of the terms Shera Ksusa Va'onasa. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our 10-question pop quiz. Number one. Which do they learn how the Chachamim hold that the defamer does not have to have relations with her? How do they explain the psukim such as spreading out the sheet? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. Number two. Which do they learn that in a town that is rove idolaters, the Narma Harasa gets stoned by the entrance of Basin? That's on Daf Mem Hey. Good. Number three. Which stuff do we have different opinions regarding the meaning of the words Shera Ksusa Va'onasa? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number four. Which stuff do we have a machlokas if a husband has to provide flutes and a mekanenes at his wife's funeral? That's on Daf Mem Ches. Good. Number five. Which stuff do we have a machlokas whether the father has rights to consume the produce from a daughter's property? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number six. Which of the one that the makor that the father gets the kesef kedushin is v'yatsa chinam in kesef? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. Number seven. Which of the one that when the kala is given over to the chasan shluchim, she's considered in his rishus in terms of her yerusha if she dies? That's on Daf Mem Ches. Good. Number eight. Which of the one if a father goes insane, then Basin goes down to his property to provide support for his wife and his children? That's on Daf Mem Ches. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do we have a machlokas if a chasan gets the peres ksus and kalim of a kala that died after Erison? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we have if a father goes insane, then Basin goes down to his property to provide support for his wife and his children? That's on Daf Mem Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.